Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Because it's Father's Day, I imagine most of us are thinking about our dads today, whether they have gone on before us or whether, thanks be to God, they are still here with us. I've been thinking about my dad a lot. He celebrated his 85th birthday, Chuck, 1 year ago, Char. He's 86 years old right now. And his world is shrinking. He no longer lives in his own home. He moved in with my brother a little under a year ago. He can't get around by himself anymore. He doesn't drive. And his stories are mostly reruns these days. Not enough new experiences to give new fodder for the storytelling, I think. But my dad absolutely loves life, and I feel like at this point of his life, in his eighth decade, he is feeling a sense of urgency to help us love life like he does and live in hopefulness like he does. But from one perspective, that's kind of amazing, because when you look back over the trajectory of my dad's life and some of the things that he's experienced, you could see many reasons for bitterness or sadness or despair. He was drafted into the military as a young man, but sees that military time as one of the most joyous times of his life, the comradeship that he developed in the service that he was conscripted to. He had a grandchild that was conceived out of wedlock, and back in the day, that was a pretty tense situation for a family to deal with, and now he looks at his 30-something grandson and thanks God for his presence in the world, and I think that that grandson has become kind of a favorite, but don't tell anybody else in the family. Another grandchild he never got to see until that child was 10 years old. A family conflict ripped the family apart for a decade. But now that grandchild lives half an hour's drive from him and has the two great-grandchildren that are the apples of his eye these days. Another grandchild he had to bail out of jail once. That brought him to his knees, and he marvels at the great work that has occurred in that grandchild's life and who that grandchild has become today. He lost his better half when my mom died a few years ago, and I think he's still a little lopsided from the loss. But my sister-in-law, who now shares a home with him, has taken my mom's place to guide and direct him so he feels a sense of stability and anchor once again, and he doesn't feel like he's floating lost. My dad's been treated for four kinds of cancer and now is continuing to live fully with an inoperable tumor. Sounds like a pretty tough hand he's been dealt from one perspective, but Dad has the resilience that's born of faith that gives him hope in the future, no matter what curves life throws at him. You get to be 80 years old and you know life is not easy, right, Char? Right, Chuck? It's not easy. You've had your share of heartache and hardship, pain. You've been around the block enough to know the pain and suffering, though, aren't the end of the story. That's the perspective of the psalmist who wrote Psalm 27. Unlike the authors of some of the lament psalms that we were reading last week, when you read Psalm 27, you can tell it's not this psalmist's first rodeo. These are the words of one who isn't being thrown from the bull for the first time. He's had experience in life. Evildoers assail him, he says. They devour his flesh. You think of some of the disease that my dad is dealing with. An army encamps against him. War rises up against him. He lives in the real world. He's faced the enemy. In the real world, there are dangers, and nobody is exempt from them, not even people of faith. This week, a congregation in Charleston, South Carolina, was rocked to the core when 9 of their members became the victims of a racist hate crime right in the middle of their midweek Bible study. Among the dead were 5 pastors, 2 of whom had been educated at the ELCA, Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary. A librarian, a young man who was just beginning his life after college, and 2 women who were old enough to be the suspected shooter's grandmothers. As we hold this congregation, Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, in our prayers, there is another congregation that also needs our prayers. The ELCA congregation where the suspected shooter was a member. His parents, his pastors, his Sunday school teachers, they too are surely reeling from the horrors of this week. And our nation's anxiety is climbing out of control. Can you feel it? The evils in this world are legion. Those evils can threaten to devour us. Each of us has faced, is facing, or will face enemies and hardships that could lead to our undoing, our acting out in fear, or our giving up in despair. Without faith, we could be overpowered. Satan is waging war all around us. But here in the psalm, we have the testimony of one who has also had war waged on him. And he shows us the way to live a life of trust, not fear, of faith, not desperation. We show trust in God in 4 different ways, according to this psalmist. We do it by praising God, by calling on God in our times of need, by making specific requests of God for what we need. We ask for what we need with this God of ours. And finally, we live a life of trust in God by coaching ourselves to live in hope, not in fear. It's conditioning that faith does for us through a lifetime. These are the 4 steps the psalmist gives us for fear-free living. And I'd like you, if you've got one of the hymnals close by, open it up. Again, these psalms are a little bit difficult to find, but if you find the first hymn in the hymn book, you'll notice it starts at 151. That's because the psalms are considered the first hymns. So flip to Psalm 27 in the psalms right before where the hymns start. It's about a third of the way into the book. We're going to look at Psalm 27. The first thing that the psalmist shows us is that we exercise trust in God by praising God and recognizing who God is. And the psalmist does that in the very first 2 or very first verse, just 1 verse. Would you read these words out loud with me? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Claim the strength that God provides for you. God is here. God is for you. Next, exercise trust by calling on God. Look at verse 7. Let's say the psalmist words together again. Hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me. Turn to the one who alone can be trusted to be there for you always. and expect that that one, when every other source of strength and support fails, that one will never fail. Your God will answer your cry for help. Next, exercise trust by making specific requests of God. This psalmist asked to be in the shelter of the Most High. This one asks to be in the house of the Lord, in that place of intimacy with God. And in verse 11, read the first just two lines of verse 11 with me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path. And then the first two lines of verse 12. Subject me not to the will of my foes, for they rise up against me. Notice how the psalmist asks to be directed on a different path. The path of God is not the path of the world. The path of the world seeks revenge and retribution and gets angry and hostile and shuts down or falls victim of despair, but not the psalmist. The psalmist knows there's another way and prays that God will pull that one on that new way. Finally, in developing trust in God, we coach ourselves not to fear, but to live in hope. Read verses 13 and 14 with me. This I believe, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord and be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. Trust that the Lord will act for the good of all creation, including you. The Lord will act. Be patient. Wait. Trust. Hope. The shooter on Wednesday night wanted to start a race war, but he didn't succeed because the people he attacked trust in the Lord. He is their light. He is their salvation. He is their stronghold. And from his shelter, they have already begun to respond with forgiveness and mercy and hope, even in the midst of their deep, deep pain. This Father's Day, I just want to ask you to listen to the faith of our fathers who teach us to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?